Cabernet tends to be the sort of Errol Flynn of the grape varieties.
One of Australia's leading beer judges.
People always ask, how do you get involved in sake and how does that connect to music?
Because wine is an adventure.
Conventional winemakers who just condemn all natural wine as faulty.
The prestigious title of Sake Samurai.
Looking at whiskey in more of an artful culinary way.
The difference between getting good quality fresh hops, it just translates straight through into the beer.
This is the Drinks Adventures podcast. I'm James Atkinson, and this is the show where I speak to some of the world's most exciting producers of beer, wine and spirits and uncover trends and issues in the drinks industry today. Best known for its craft beers, including Newtowner Australian Pale Ale, Young Henry's has been operating a distillery in parallel since 2015. However, likely because of the scale of Young Henry's brewing operation, its flagship Noble Cut Gin has flown somewhat under the radar. The company hopes that will change with an improved recipe for Noble Cut that was awarded a gold medal at the prestigious San Francisco World Spirits Competition earlier this year. Also in 2020, Young Henry's launched the second iteration of its barrel-aged gin, along with another expression that looks set to become a permanent fixture in the range, Newtown Strength Gin. The company's new head distiller is Carla Daunton, who started at Young Henry's after learning distillation in her previous role at an ethanol facility. You'll hear from Carla how she found her way into brewing and then distilling at Young Henry's in just a moment. What I love about Australian craft spirits is that our distillers are truly free to experiment. We aren't governed by rules and traditions. That's why the flavour and character of Australian spirits is so unique. But it takes distilling prowess and another critical ingredient to bring these products to market, and that ingredient is Bintani. Bintani supplies distillers with malts of all colours, flavours and aromas. They have a leading range of yeast and other ingredients and the professional expertise to help distillers create the spirits of their dreams. Make Bintani your partner in taste and quality.
So originally my training is based in science and biochemistry, and I did a bit of postgraduate research with biochemistry and nanoengineering. Very unhappy in science and just tried to find the best parts of the science that I do love and applying them in a way that could bring me the most joy, which distilling and brewing has all the fun bits.
Were you already a gin enthusiast then prior to arriving at Young Henry's?
Yeah, I was. It was actually going to Juniperlooza in 2017, I think, to get myself into gin because I didn't like it beforehand. That had me actually approaching distillers and discussing with them potentially moving into that industry for the first time from my previous role as a science communicator and educator.
And then you found yourself, was it initially you started Young Henry's in a brewing role or that kind of progressed into distilling from there?
Yeah, so I was a production distiller before Young Henry's. That was my first role in the industry. And then I came on board at Young Henry's as a brewer. I want to do everything. I want to know everything and I want to try my hand at everything. So I wanted to do both brewing and distilling in my career. So in being a production distiller, I was hesitant to continue distilling straight away in my next move because I didn't want to lock myself into that aspect of booze production. So I came on board as a brewer initially at Young Henry's. They took a massive chance on me because I was just this ditz that rocks up. I'm like, oh, you know, I distill and, you know, I'm a scientist. I can totally lift bags of grain. And they were like, okay, great. And they took a chance and, yeah, I love brewing.
Give yourself some credit. You had, science qualifications, which is probably more than what a lot of people have when they start. There's a lot of people who start out as home brewers, I guess, and get into the profession from there.
I do enjoy the enzymatic utilization in the brewing process, yes. Just speak to my soul. And then our previous distiller was coming to an end of his time, his internment there, and they offered me to be distiller. And so I was brewer distiller up until 2 weeks ago and now head distiller.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
I mentioned to maybe a couple of people that I was going to be having you on the podcast from Young Henry's to talk about gin. And I have to say, the reaction I kind of get from people is Young Henry's. Oh, do you mean McHenry's in Tasmania? No, Young Henry's. Young Henry's makes gin. Is that something you get often? Because obviously Young Henry's is such a powerhouse of a beer brand that maybe the gin's just flown under the radar a little bit.
As soon as you started that, I knew exactly where you were going. and it's word for word. I didn't know they make gin. That's absolutely what that is. So, yeah, I mean, we are the second biggest independent craft beer company in Australia. So, of course, everyone knows and loves the Newtowner. Everyone knows and loves Young Henry's beer. So, yeah, we were a little bit, I think, subdued in the way that we were sort of pushing the gin a bit. We didn't really know where we wanted to go with it for a little while. Now we've realised that we actually have a product that is fantastic, and let's push it out now and actually make it known on its own, independent of the brewing aspect of the company, because we're a brewing and distilling company. And I think now we've got some awards and some credit behind us that we can really actually say, look, we've got an amazing product. It stands on its own.
I think I saw there was a gold medal in San Francisco earlier this year, which is obviously, you know, one of the biggest competitions that there is for spirits.
Yeah, that was a lovely surprise. It was probably my favourite batch that we sent over there that we'd done end of last year. And it does build on awards that we've won previously with the bronze and silver in the San Francisco Spirit Awards in 2016 and 2019. So it was a lovely progression to see us take the gold this year.
What was your reaction when you got that news?
I squealed. My partner thought we won lotto, just running around the house like an idiot. It was an absolute joy and a really lovely surprise. Well earned, though. It was a top-notch batch of gin.
And that recipe is pretty much, is that a lock now that you've
got
it to that point?
Oh, yeah, it was already a lock before we sent that one off for the competition. It's pretty much, it's dialed in now. It's what we like.
When you say that batch was really strong, I suppose because it is a small batch thing and you're dealing with natural ingredients, there's always going to be a tiny little bit of batch variation that happens.
That's it. I think in that particular batch, it was also me coming into the role of distiller. I was still relatively new at distilling the gin. So I think that was the first one where I really found my legs as well and just sort of really realised that, you know, I've got this. I know how the still works now and she knows how I work, so we could dance together and produce some really top quality gin. So the quality's been maintained from that point on.
What category does Noble Cut enter into in the awards?
We are a new world contemporary gin. Obviously there's juniper in it, otherwise it's just vodka. Pepperberry, lemon myrtle, which are both Australian botanicals. Lemon peel to enhance the citrus of the lemon myrtle. Enigma hop flowers from Tasmania, so that's where we incorporate our brewing soul into our gin. And I think they really complement each other and produce a really nice, well-rounded, easy-drinking spirit. You get the grassiness and the earthiness of the Enigma flowers and obviously the juniper and the pepperberry bringing forward a nice spiciness and bitterness to it. And the pepperberry actually brings some sweetness, which then plays off the lemon myrtle. So, yeah, it's a really, really easy-drinking, nice little gin, which I'm a big fan of, actually.
Tell me about how it's evolved, because there's obviously been a lot of work that's gone into refining the recipe over time, and I would imagine that if we put the current Noble Cut next to maybe some of the early batches, the differences would be quite stark.
Yeah, so when I came on board, the first thing I did was play around with the pepperberry concentrations because we were sort of not incorporating it as much as we could. So we were able to basically dial in that particular element of the flavour profile, and actually I think it actually enhanced the other components quite nicely, for example. Other than that, we're constantly doing quality control and quality assurance because the botanicals change over time, the growing conditions change over time for each of them, so the quality that you get, considering you're dealing with Australian natives as well as, you know, produced herbs, you've got to maintain a strong palate to be able to pick up what needs to be adjusted and when.
When Young Henry's originally launched Noble Cut in 2015, it was what is known as a grain-to-glass gin. This means it was distilled from scratch at Young Henry's Sydney headquarters in Newtown, taking grain and turning it into wash, the alcoholic liquid ready for distillation into a higher-proof spirit.
So basically, when you're distilling from wash, in order to produce the right kind of neutral spirit, which is going to enable you to actually showcase the flavours of the botanicals you're putting into it, we found that it just wasn't possible on the size of the system that we had. The still is not designed to produce neutral spirit. She's designed to produce excellent gin. Having come from a production distillery where we made neutral spirit, they were six columns, two stories high.
There's a splinter group calling itself the Australian Guild of Artisan Distillers that requires its members to make their own spirit in the way that Young Henry's used to do. But the vast majority of gin in Australia is made using neutral spirit supplied by an industrial-scale distillery. And that's what Young Henry's is doing today.
The decision that we made was to basically ensure that the quality of the product and the flavours of the product were as high as possible. It was a serious decision that was made, but it was definitely for the best for the spirit. You know, you don't want the grain flavours getting in the way of your delicate botanicals.
And in the early days, the botanical bill was quite different as well. What sort of happened over time from that?
Simplification. There was over 20 botanicals in batch one. I still go back and look at that recipe and goggle at it almost like it's huge. But they really pulled out the best botanicals and really sort of dialed in the kind of gin that we actually wanted to produce and the flavours that we wanted to showcase, and were able to really make it a lot cleaner and a lot more beautiful in its simplicity.
What are the key elements of the flavour profile that you get from Noble Cut now?
So I do think it's a lot better balanced. It's a lot more easy to consume. So basically in the beginning, when it first hits your nose and you take that first delicious whiff, you'll get aspects of the juniper and the pepper berry spiciness, and then you'll get your citrus coming through with a little bit of earthiness as well. And then on the front of the palate, it'll definitely hit you with the juniper and pepper berry. It's quite forward in that. The pepper berry then devolves from spiciness to sweetness, which then you'll sort of get your grassiness coming in through the middle there with your lemon myrtle and your citrus finish. So it'll be a nice, quite clean, citrus, sweet finish.
Do you guys do quite a bit of testing of how it works in mixed drinks and cocktails and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we do. We're taking greater care with that, particularly with our two limiteds that we produced earlier and a few months ago. We took great care in developing, in conjunction with an excellent couple of bartenders, the kind of cocktails that it would really lend itself to. And so, yeah, it's something that we're definitely thinking about in terms of the consumer and how they best enjoy it. I personally drink it straight, but then that's just me. So I'm definitely not necessarily your target audience. We do actually care about what people consume it with. And we've even recently adjusted our tonics that we serve it in the bar at Young Henry's just to make sure that the flavours are presented the best way possible, make it most enjoyable.
Yeah, tell me about the two new additions to the range. This year has been obviously a very disrupted year for everyone. Is that how you kind of had the breathing space to think, well, what can we do this year? Maybe we should have a look at expanding the gin range? Or has that been on the cards for a while?
It's been on the cards for a while. We do have some super secret spirit sitting out the back that we'll be pulling out, you know, as time goes on. The barrel-aged gin had obviously been in barrel for about 9 months. So that was laid down, obviously, pre-COVID
right.
last year. So it was almost like we knew what was coming. And then in developing the Newtown strength, which was concocted from scratch during COVID with this release of the barrel-aged, I think it was because when tasting the barrel-aged, it was, in my mind and in the mind of the directors, too whiskey-like, too sweet, too, in my mind, delicious, like too much of a good thing, not so gin-like. So then it was, well, how do we pull it back into being more of a noble cut, barrel-aged noble cut? And that was where we can blend it back in with a fresh batch of gin, and then we've got this special batch of gin that we've used to blend in with the barrel-aged, let's do something special with the rest of it. It's a fantastic, you know, cracker of a batch, so let's think about how we can showcase Newtown as well and the strength that it's shown in its resilience and its love for its community. So we decided to do the Newtown strength to really, you know, show some love for where we're at.
The barrel-aged product, there might still be some of it in market, but I gather that was a limited edition thing that's been and gone pretty much.
Single barrel.
Yeah, and maybe be more future iterations though.
Yeah, it's probably got one more batch in it. The first batch of barrel aged came out 2 years ago from that barrel. This barrel aged batch two took a little longer, so it's probably got one left in it before we have to switch up the barrels or put it to bed.
Tell me about the Newtown strength, apart from obviously the alcohol. How does it differ to the regular Noble Cut, and how should people enjoy that one?
So in a production perspective, from a botanical perspective, it doesn't differ at all from the Noble Cut. But being a higher ABV, it really comes across completely different when you're consuming it. The palate is completely different.
It's a lot spicier, I thought, when I tried it the other day in the brewery.
Yeah, it's really sweet notes as well. Yeah, I think it just dances across the palate. It's so nice. It's so easy to drink. You don't really register it as being 55%. When it comes to consuming it, I mean, there are a lot of good cocktails that go in. I think that's probably why it came in at number 12 on the hottest 100 spirit list, probably because it lends itself so nicely to a cocktail. I think it's really versatile, this
yeah,
one.
Cool.
You can shove it into anything you put a gin in.
What else is happening out the back there of the distillery? I mean, there's been constant rumours of some whiskey that's been put down.
Yeah.
And also, there's a vermouth, I think, that's been knocking about that was done with Alex Retief. Are these products, can we talk about any of those products at all?
The animal spirit vermouth has been out for quite some time.
Yeah.
That's a limited batch and there's not much left of it, but you can still find it, especially if you come into the brewery. We've got a few barrels out the back that we're taking very good care of. There was an apple brandy that we put into a barrel that was a batch of cider that we distilled. So our cloudy cider got distilled and put into a barrel, and that's just the nicest apple brandy. So that'll be coming out quite soon. And we do have some whiskey out the back, some barrels that have been sitting there for quite some time. So they'll be ready to pop pretty soon.
Cool. You've talked a bit about how there is going to be a bit more focus on the gin moving forward. What's that going to look like? Are you talking internally about how you're going to give it a real push?
Long days for me. I think it's going to be meeting demand. We're seeing an uptick in interest from the gin, and I think it's just natural that production will need to follow. And we've got a really passionate sales team that are really starting to fall in love with it, well, have fallen in love with it. So it's nice to have a team behind you that also recognise the quality of the spirit and can recognise where it should be in terms of people's shelves.
It must be a bit of a tough sell for them, though, just because there are so many gins out there these days. 600 Australian gins or something like that, I heard just recently.
You'd think so, but it's very good.
Yeah. Do you feel like you've found your calling and this is what you're keen to do now, focus on distilling for a while?
Yeah. I say that with some trepidation because, you know, brewing's my home, but distilling's my heart. That's how I've been describing it. Like, I had a really sad moment the other day where I was brewing. I was actually on brew deck brewing a lager, and I had a quiet little moment where I was like, oh, is there going to come a day when it's my last brew day? And I was like, I got a bit sad.
If you get too good at making gin, you mean?
Well, if the production just ramps up so much that they need me on, you know, on making gin or packaging gin. So I just had a little moment there. I was like, wow, this might actually, you know, have a use-by date or an expiry date on it. And I love brewing. I absolutely love everything about it, all the gross parts of the job, cellaring, fuging, packaging, kegging. I'll keg for days because then they have to listen to my music over the Sonos. But, yeah, I think distilling is always quietly been where I'll end up. So it's quite nice and quite early for me, really, to already be in that position as head distiller now. I would love to not have to hear that, didn't even know you made gin, ever again. But it'd be great. If we could reach that point, I know I've done my job. Maybe if we can have some gin drinkers coming going, oh, I didn't know you made beer. Don't think it'll ever happen, but, you know.
Well, hopefully we can help a little bit with that. Where can people find the gins?
So you can find it in a lot of retailers. A lot of independents have it. You can always come into the bar in Newtown, come say hello, come check out the display case of the gin distiller still in front. There's quite a few majors that have it, Dan Murphy's, BWS. Yeah, we do sell it online and we ship Australia-wide.
Younghenrys.com. Nice. Carla, thanks so much for joining us on the show.
No worries, it's been an absolute pleasure.
The Drinks Adventures podcast is produced by me, James Atkinson, with additional production and mixing by Dave Robertson. You can find complete transcripts, links, and other information on the show at drinksadventures.com.au. You can follow me on all social media platforms at By James Atkinson. Like my Facebook page, James Atkinson Drinks Adventures, to be kept informed of podcast giveaways and other news about the show. The Drinks Adventures podcast needs your support as listeners. Please do us a favour and leave an honest review and rating for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. We love hearing your feedback, and it helps inform other people this is a show worth listening to. Or simply drop us a line at hello@drinksadventures.com.au.